What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Canes Insight Daily Podcast, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. We saw some football this weekend. We'll talk about Miami's spring game. Rewatched it, was there live. A lot of things on rewatch that you pick up that you didn't pick up the first time. So we'll break down some of the guys that really stood out on rewatch and there live. Some of the bigger picture things that we take from the spring game. Also, going to take you to the bank with the absolute latest in recruiting information. It's been a minute, so let's get you up to speed on names Miami's trending with, potential additions to this class, names that are climbing up Miami's board. First, want to talk about my friends at Anajar and Levine. They don't take the summer off. They're working spring, summer, and fall, and they're never playing their third teamers, always the first team. They will handle your case from beginning to end. If you or someone you care about has been injured in an accident, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Dial 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of your life with Anajar and Levine. All right, we saw some real football this weekend. Not quite real, but almost real. It was a spring game. Players were being tackled to the ground. A lot of chance for a lot of you guys to see some of our new players. Transfers, of course, Cam Ward, the true freshman. Got to see what the team looked like physically. Those of you who were at the spring game 3 years ago, or I guess 2 years ago, when Cristobal first got here, 2022, Josh Gaddis offense. I believe it was at Lockhart Stadium. If you remember that, it was pretty ugly. You had 6'1 offensive linemen with the starting unit, multiple people with that stature. You had wide receivers not getting open. You had very short route concepts, and it was an extremely boring scrimmage. Those of you who saw it, remember it, even though you might want to forget. This was more exciting, right? The first drive with the first team goes right down the field. Cam Ward able to put it in the paint. Cam Ward scored multiple times, both with Xavier Restrepo, Isaiah Horton, going through his progressions, making plays outside the pocket, throwing seeds to Xavier Restrepo on the sideline. Did a lot of nice things. Cam Ward obviously looked like the top quarterback. And what he did in that scrimmage, that spring game, was what you saw all throughout camp. And also what you saw when he was at Washington State. So really, Cam Ward, not much to say there. We did a bunch of episodes on him last week. You saw the game. You saw that he is who we thought he is. Have a great, great, great interview on YouTube with Cam Ward that we were able to do at Titanic after the game. I think it's his first sit-down interview that he's done with anybody. Just an awesome kid. Exudes leadership. Strongly recommend you guys check out that interview that we did with Cam Ward at the post show, immediately following the spring game at the Titanic. We got that on video. But really, to me, the bigger story was the backup quarterback battle, because I know who the starter is. This didn't change anything with respect to Cam Ward. But in terms of the backup quarterback battle, that's been sort of the topic of discussion throughout the week, you know, as far as Jakari Brown, a lot of discussion regarding his name. And the funny thing is that started probably last week. From what I'm told, that was Jakari's best week of practice last week. Tuesday and Thursday was outstanding. And then carrying it on into the spring game, I thought he was probably the best of the backup quarterbacks. This was not the story of the whole spring. There were other scrimmages in which other players performed better, whether it was Poffenbarger or Emery Williams. But to me, in this game, Jakari played a really nice game and did a nice job. Clearly, you see that the physical dimensions with Jakari are different. He's the tallest, or at least just as tall as Emery, but very big in stature. Clearly the most athletic and fast. You saw when he broke on that run down the left sideline, he was able to accelerate past Markeith Williams and really show off his speed faster than the defensive backs. And then just pure arm strength, even though Reese Poffenbarger has a pretty good arm, I'd say Jakari has the most horsepower just in terms of flicking it and delivering RPMs. Accuracy is something that he struggled with, consistency, consistent footwork, but he did deliver some good balls. Threw a beautiful pass to Nykar. Nykar was able to snare with his hands on a dig. Shout out to Jeremy Marks Pels, by the way, for these videos that we are using from Twitter. He is a great account, a must follow. But you know, you saw Jakari's arm strength on that play. Also his creativity and ability to throw the ball downfield in the face of a blitz to Jackson Carver. Just really, he made plays that he has not consistently made in spring necessarily, but he's made more consistently in this last week. And I thought it was a lot of eyes on him, and he stepped up big. Emery Williams, still working his way from the wrist injury. Mobility is always going to be the question with him. He did deliver some accurate balls. You saw the touchdown to Ray Joseph. I thought he was how he usually is, not his best performance, but steady, accurate, making good decisions. Athleticism is going to be the question with Emery. How much more athletic and mobile can he get? And if he's not going to get more athletic, how much quicker is his decision-making going to get? How much better is his command of the offense going to be to make up for some of those athletic deficiencies? You see that in the NFL with some of the older quarterbacks who prolong their careers even as they lose their legs because of their mental game and their ability to make quick decisions. That's what you need from Emery Williams. Reese Poffenbarger, I didn't think had his best day. He's looked better at other times of spring. Had a beautiful pass to Riley Williams, showed off the quick twitch arm strength, the playmaking, but you know the lack of consistent footwork reared his head, a little bit too much backyard football. He's a basketball player too, so maybe that's what the athleticism, where that comes from, and the creativity. You love it when he's making plays outside the pocket, but in terms of being on time consistently, he was not that in this spring game, and I think you know it was not his best showing. He's played better in other scrimmage settings this spring. Also didn't have a ton of help from his offensive line. I think the interior offensive line that he was working with was not at its best. You know, he will play with better guards if he's with the first team. God forbid something happens to Cam Ward. A shorter quarterback like that, when you have interior pressure, it causes a lot of problems because you can't see over it. You know, when it's coming from the outside, you could step up in the pocket. But when it's coming right at you, you're small. You're getting overwhelmed. That's why Drew Brees always had Pro Bowl guards, even when he didn't have Pro Bowl tackles, because he had a nice firm pocket right in front of him. I think Reese suffered a little bit from having smaller guards there, Logan Sagapolo, Lou Cristobal with the second team. So that was just something I noticed with him. But overall, not his best day. He can do better than what he did. Judd Anderson played limited snaps, showed a nice arm initially, was very late on a throw outside, jumped by Demetrius Freeney, the junior college transfer from California, and he took it for a pick six. Not the start you want for Judd Anderson, but he's still a young player. This is not the end of the Judd Anderson story. Some guys on defense that showed flashes I wanted to highlight. To me, just rewatching the game, you know, when you're there, you're kind of walking around and shaking hands. I saw some of you guys there. Appreciate everybody I saw that introduced themselves and said they liked the show. Again, appreciate your support. But when you rewatch it, certain names jump out that you don't see live. And I got to say, Cam Pruitt, Bobby Pruitt, number 22 from Mobile, Alabama. Someone corrected me in the comments. From Mobile, Alabama, Cam Pruitt really showed what he's been showing all spring, which is flashes of athleticism, instincts, striking ability, and potentially a big-time player. He's someone that they are extremely excited about. You saw him get a lot of snaps with the ones at that Sam linebacker position. That's that sort of safety linebacker hybrid. He got a lot of snaps there, more so than playing with a true nickel, which they did less in this spring game than they've done at other times. So you saw a lot of number 22 with the ones, and he was easy to spot, man. He was in the backfield making plays, had a huge, huge hit. I want to say on Chris Johnson, just knocked him backwards. Elijah Lofton, who's even bigger than Chris Johnson, way bigger than Cam Pruitt, heavier. He knocked him backwards. Also had an unbelievable play where Elijah Arroyo went deep and he ran stride for stride with him and was able to break up the pass. You saw that ability as a safety, as a receiver in high school, that athletic versatility. You saw some of that with Bobby Pruitt when he ran down the field with Elijah Arroyo to break it up. That's what he brings. If he continues to gain weight, he's gained about 15 to 20 pounds since he's been here, and have the ability to stay in the box, that versatility is going to really, really make a difference when he goes against a guy like Elijah Arroyo, who will beat your traditional linebackers deep. Could not beat Bobby Pruitt. He ran with him step for step. Another guy I want to talk about who had a really nice day, in my opinion, number 24, Malik Bryant. And I mentioned this in other platforms. Malik Bryant is somebody who played linebacker last year, stand-up linebacker, was a stand-up rusher in high school. And some people felt that maybe he wasn't going to make it when he was playing stand-up linebacker. People observing practice felt that he just didn't look natural. Now he's back at his edge position, stand-up linebacker position. He is really coming on. He had an outstanding spring. He's one of the first guys mentioned to me whenever I asked about spring practice. You saw him start on Saturday, and he was able to get to Cam Ward, beat Jalen Rivers on an inside move at one point, had a great motor, showed some nice speed. You know, he has a lot to offer at that position. That's his natural position. It's what he's always played. He has those natural rush instincts, the athleticism, and the motor to really get after it. So very excited about where Malik Bryant's going directionally. And that's something that's been consistent throughout spring based on my conversations with sources. Another guy I want to pull up, and again, thanks for Jeremy Marks Peltz for these videos, Chris Wheatley Humphrey. You know, this is somebody who, three-star player, kind of a mid three-star player from South Broward. The knock on him, size. Is he going to be big enough to play running back at the next level? And he doesn't have Chris Johnson's 10-3 speed. He's fast, but he's not, you know, elite speed. We saw him in full contact, just like he was doing earlier in spring when we reported that he was opening eyes. Full contact, dragging him to the ground. He was able to consistently fall forward for yardage. Also able to see the holes, jump from gap to gap with his jump cut ability and his quickness, similar to Duke Johnson. Not saying he is Duke Johnson, just that ability to jump from gap to gap with vision and quickness. He has that. And again, really impressed with the ability to fall forward. This was live tackling. They were taking him down to the ground and he was still able to fall forward. Only in the 170s right now, needs to absolutely get up to that 185, 190 range to really be the player that he's capable of being. But you saw the natural toughness in a full contact setting, which it's hard to gauge over the course of spring when you're mostly doing thud tackling and not taking the player to the ground. He stood up to the test and really showed that he can be a tough player. As he gains weight, that dynamic athleticism will continue to show the vision. He could be a very, very good change of pace, complementary player in this offense. And I know people are excited about what Chris Wheatley Humphrey brings to the table. One last play that I wanted to highlight that jumped out on the rewatch, JoJo Trader catching a long third down conversion from Cam Ward. Really was not open initially, was able to find, you know, get behind the safety, find a soft spot in the zone. Cam Ward delivered a rocket, and JoJo Trader was able to catch it with his hands, full speed, and then run for the first down. That showed a little bit of savvy. It wasn't just, you know, run down the field and I'll throw you a bomb. He was able to find a soft spot in the zone, navigate there, communicate with Cam Ward non-verbally so Cam Ward knows he's open, gets the ball to him, catches it with his hands, and just good chemistry there with those two where they're able to make an adjustment, make a big play down the field, and the hands catching from JoJo Trader and the run after catch. That bodes well. I mentioned in the show before the spring game, you would see JoJo Trader playing with the ones. You saw that, and he was able to make plays like that. Good sign for the true freshman from Chaminade. Got a lot of questions last week, by the way, about the polo I was wearing. I was wearing the same shirt in orange. Got a lot of comments and questions. Where'd you get that polo with the old English Miami baseball logo? Of course, it is caneswear.com. I got this one at the store in Davie. Went down there, had a nice Israeli pita down the street, got some gear. Best service in the business at Caneswear. But you can also get on caneswear.com no matter where you live. We got it in green like I'm wearing now. You got it in orange like I wore last week. Caneswear, the absolute best in the business, the spot where Miami fans shop. Switching gears from the spring game, I want to take you to the bank. And, you know, obviously last time we talked in the bank, I mentioned Brock Schott as a potential Miami commit, potentially the next commit. So we try to give you a little preview with that one. I think we're about 10 days early. Way past time to give folks a bank update. I gave most of this information to those Canes Connection members who were part of the private Zoom. If you want to be part of those private Zooms, this one was last Thursday. Sign up for Canes Connection, promo code CIS, 20% off, and you will get this info plus more early before anybody else. But enough time's passed. Wanted to give you some of the things I've been hearing from the coaches and other sources around the program. Running back. You had the committed Gerald Pringle. The speedster from Armwood. Again, first reported on the bank. Alvin Henderson was a name that was committing. I'm told that they weren't pushing hard for the signature of Alvin Henderson from Alabama. Similar size to Jared Pringle. He ended up going to Penn State. I don't think good player, but I don't think anybody's shedding tears over that one. They're comfortable with Jared Pringle as the smaller back. And in terms of a bigger back, they want a much bigger back. One name that's picking up a lot of steam, Shekhai Mills Knight from Tennessee, originally from Canada. This is a guy with track speed, 215 plus pounds. We did a show with him on the YouTube channel. You could check out. Great kid in the interview. He was on a visit this spring, I believe last week. And sometimes on these visits, the kid comes down, And the coaches say, ah, you know, he's not as big as I thought. I didn't like his attitude. Didn't seem like a great kid. And they actually, their stock lowers. Sometimes it's the opposite. They come on the visit and the stock raises. When it comes to Shekhine Mills-Knight, I'm told that he blew people away on his visit with his personality and with his physicality, his strength. The film looks good. He's got picking up a lot of offers. Miami loves Shekhine Mills-Knight. He's a name with momentum in that running back room to potentially pair with Jerod Pringle. Another name with momentum, Dallas Wilson, the wide receiver from Tampa Tech. He just had a great weekend at the OT 7-on-7, winning the championship with Coach Duaso and the Raw Miami squad. We're going to bring in Coach Duaso later this week, most likely to talk about his championship and all the UM prospects on his roster. But one in particular, I think Miami's really chipping away at, is Dallas Wilson, five-star player, committed to Oregon, freak of nature. Your Coach Duaso was raving about his upside, called him a top 10 pick upside-wise, and just said he's physically different than some of the other receivers that he's been around with his size, with his speed, only scratching the surface of what he can be. Made a lot of plays this weekend, including one to tie up one of their closer games. And Miami is really, really on Oregon's trail here. Watch out for the recruitment of Dallas Wilson. That's picking up steam. The commitment of Brock Schott, which we talked about on the podcast. Miami's second commit of that class. Luca Gilbert from Ohio, another one we did an instant reaction for, was the first. So you have your big inline tight end, and you have your offensive weapon tight end in Brock Schott. Miami is still recruiting Elias Williams, the number one tight end in the country. So Miami could potentially take three tight ends if the third tight end's name is Elias Williams. He is such a freak, considered one of the biggest freaks in the class, 6'7 basketball player, dynamic down the field. Miami would take the commit of Elias Williams if they were able to secure it. He visited twice in spring. There's legitimate interest there. Miami loves Luca Gilbert, who's committed, loves Brock Schott, who's committed, but they will not stop recruiting Elias Williams. Offensive line, a lot of names in the mix. You know, there was some momentum with Taron Hedrick from Naples. I'm told that that's kind of faded away a little bit on both sides. I think the focus now, when I asked about offensive line, the names I got, Solomon Thomas, the nation's number one interior lineman, who was on campus this weekend for the spring game. Zaire Addison, who also visited this week. We had him on an interview as well on YouTube. Great kid, tackle with a lot of versatility. Isaac Sowles, I believe he's from the Kentucky, from the state of Kentucky. Interior lineman they like a lot, was just the MVP, I want to say, of the Nashville Under Armour camp on the offensive line. Blew people away there. SJ Alafatuli from Las Vegas was on campus this weekend for the spring game. Number one center in the nation. Max Buchanan, a guy who can play center and guard, was on campus this past week. Big kid. I stood right next to him. He's a center, but he could also play guard. Natural frame. Not a lot of bad fat on him. He showed out at the Miami Rivals camp and dominated. So there's some names on offensive line. Defensive end, watch out for Zion Grady from the Alabama area. I'm told Miami sits in a very good spot with him. He's one that where Miami's really, really picking up a lot of traction. They got a crystal ball. I'm told that's legit. Miami's making real moves with Zion Grady, the top 50 player from Alabama. Another name that Miami is generating momentum with, and a guy I want to talk about, Gavin Nix, the linebacker from IMG, originally from the Orlando area. Miami has Elijah Melendez committed from Kissimmee, so similar area that Gavin Nix is originally from. Love Elijah Melendez. He's taking other visits, so keep an eye on that. He's committed, and they want him to stay committed, but he's taking other visits, so that's always something to monitor. But I'm told they would love to pair him with Gavin Nix. Gavin Nix, like Elijah Melendez, is a true linebacker. You've seen in the past guys move from edge to linebacker, not necessarily make it at Miami, at linebacker. Nix, like Melendez, true off-the-ball linebacker, has speed. You see him run. The guy's outstanding instincts at production at IMG. He's not just a pass rusher, though he can rush the passer. He is somebody who will read, react, run, hit, and tackle. Also good cover guy, great character. A lot to like about Gavin Nix. FSU's in the mix. Other schools are in the mix, but I'm told Miami is firmly in the lead. When I ask who's Miami has some good momentum with, I think you're talking about Gavin Nix. And you're talking about Zion Grady as guys that people around the program feel that Miami has a lot of momentum with, and they're trending in the right direction for the Hurricanes for a potential commit. Miami will have to push. They'll have to fight off some top teams, but those are two names where Miami is going strong.
Yeah. This an insight to the Canes, and you know we ain't playing no games. Joaquin said dominate, so that's what we do. Home of the legends and seventh floor crew, down in Miami where hurricanes brew. You here for the rumors, we bring you the news, cause it's all about the you. And nobody do it like Canes Insight. Nobody do it like Canes Insight. Nobody do it like Canes Insight.